This is a podcast recording for the website Darfur, the Promise of Engagement. Today is Monday, the 27th of April, 2009. I'm Rebecca Hamilton. I'm here at the International Criminal Court in The Hague to speak with the court's prosecutor, Luis Moreno Ocampo. Moreno Ocampo was the deputy prosecutor in the prosecution of the military junta in his native Argentina. The case was the first against top military commanders since the Nuremberg trials. Since then, he's worked as a lawyer in both the private and public spheres, and in 2003, he was elected to be the first prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. Mr. Prosecutor, though the website is new and not yet well publicised, I received a lot of questions that members of the public would like to ask you. I received more questions than we'll have time to get through, and so to cut them down, I've prioritised those that have been asked repeatedly. For instance, citizens submitting questions in countries including Kenya, the United States, the Netherlands, and Australia have all asked the question that I will put to you first about why an arrest warrant for the Sudanese president was not issued under seal. Unfortunately, the website is currently blocked inside Sudan, so I haven't been able to gather questions from people in the country. However, Sudanese people in both Kenya and the United States have contributed to these questions. Here is the first question. Why didn't you opt for a sealed arrest warrant for those you've charged in the Darfur cases, like the prosecutor at the Special Court for Sierra Leone did with the arrest warrant for Charles Taylor? Wouldn't this have given you the possibility of a surprise arrest?
I would say, before making any decision, we assess. And we assess that arresting a president is not a police operation. This is not the way you work in the Nixon case in the U.S. or the way you work in Brazilian Mr. Cordemelo or Fujimori. It's not sealed arrest warrant. And in fact, it's interesting. The issue you present, Mr. Taylor, the prosecutor of the David Crane had a very particular problem. He got to arrest Taylor. The mandate of the Sierra Leone court was for 3 years. So he was running out of time. And then he tried his sealed arrest warrant and failed. You have to know, when he issued the sealed arrest warrant, Ghana refused to implement it. And I was with President Kufuor from Ghana discussing why he refused to implement. And he gave me many reasons. So I had a specific reason why not to repeat the mistake. By the way, the Sierra Leone prosecutor had to alienate all the African leaders, something I cannot do. He understands that. We discussed this also with David Crane, who's a very smart and good prosecutor. And he said to me, I have no time. I cannot wait years to arrest Mr. Taylor. But at the end, that's what happened. Taylor was arrested after the arrest warrant was known, after a 2 years process. So that's why it's interesting. The question is not presenting a good argument. It's just something discussing things with no foundations and diverting us of our attention. The first question has to be about what happened in Darfur today? What happened with the victims? What happened to the crimes?
On that topic, one of the questions that was submitted by a number of different citizens was about what is happening in Darfur today.
That's for me the biggest issue. Because people know the obvious attacks committed massively in 2003-2004 in the villages. And the plan, and there are many indicia showing that, was, okay, they are not killing all of them because they are destroying them just with no water, no food. The desert will kill them. And this plan was affected by the international organizations providing humanitarian help. And in those days, because al-Bashir was afraid of the reactions, he managed a new, more subtle way to destroy these people through hindering humanitarian assistance, through raping women in and around the camps. So rape and hunger were the new tools, more subtle. And even people can understanding this is a way to massively exterminate people. These people are in camps, they cannot survive by themselves, and President Bashir appoints Ahmed Haroun now to affect and hinder humanitarian assistance. And interestingly, confirming this criminal intention, he now expelled the humanitarian organizations. That's why the expelling is confirming our approach. But for some reason, we are buying the idea if they are not killed with bullet, direct bullet, they are not killed. And it's interesting, you know, there was humanitarian organizations visiting Auschwitz during the Second World War, and they did not realize that this camp was an extermination camp. In fact, the marginal comment was they had to improve the shower system. So, because it's normal, humanitarian organizations are not focusing in the killing, in how the camps are committed, because they have a narrow mandate, the narrow mandate to provide food for the people. Crucially important. But this is not, they are not describing what is happening. The investigation we conduct is showing the facts, and people have to understand the facts.
Next question. A number of people asked whether you believe that damage has been done to peace and justice in Darfur since the judges rejected the arrest warrant application on the genocide count.
First, the genocide issue is something that we keep discussing. It's a 2-1 decision, and we are appealing, so it's still alive. The judge also requested me to provide more evidence. I think it's a strong case. But in any case, the issue here is how to arrest Mr. Bashir, and in particular, how to stop the crime. What's the big difference between a genocide charge or extermination charge? What is the difference? It's the difference. It's, in one case, extermination is directed against civilians in general terms. In the genocide case, the extermination is directed against particular groups. So what the difference is? So that way, again, I think we have to understand the issue here is how to stop the crimes. That's the only issue. The rest is irrelevant.
On the topic of stopping the crimes, a number of people who very much support the application that you made and the decision that the court issued to arrest the Sudanese president, Omar al-Bashir, nevertheless have concerns about how this is going to actually happen in practice. And they ask, what can be done to stop Bashir when he's hosted by the Arab League summit and treated with honor and respect? How does one enforce this arrest warrant?
Normally, the criminal law isolate the criminals and help the society to play together. Normally, when you have high-ranking officers prosecuted, it's more challenging. No, this happened in Nixon Watergate. It was complicated. And in particular case, of course, al-Bashir is fighting for his survival. So he's trying to show he is still a president. He's a fugitive president. I see the travels of Omar al-Bashir through the region as desperation. He's not showing me strength. He's showing me desperation. And if you read well, African Union, in particular Arab League comments, they are not supporting Bashir. They are just saying we need time. That's it. So, and in particular now, you can read Mr. Bashir was informed he is not welcome in South Africa to the ceremony for Mr. Zuma appointment as the president of South Africa. So the important issue here is to keep a consistent approach. Mr. Omar al-Bashir will be marginalized. And then when the Sudan will implement the arrest warrant. That will take 2 months, 6 months, 2 years, but that will happen. The problem is the victims today. That's why I go back. Because the office did its job. We present the case. We have an arrest warrant. Will be implemented in a future. But in the meantime, the court said Omar al-Bashir had to be arrested to stop him committing crimes. And that's a part we are ignoring. And because it's difficult for the international community to work through consensus, we are not making the point clear. What happened today in the camps is a continuation of the extermination crime. Had to be stopped.
So tell me, regular citizens around the world who care about the people in Darfur, in your view, what is the best action that they can take to support the enforcement of the arrest warrant?
First, I think the easy way to do is send clear signals to their leaders, political leaders, that they can to request Omar al-Bashir to be arrested. Brazil president refused to sit with Mr. Bashir in a dinner in the Arab South American summit. Argentinian president stand and left when Omar al-Bashir was starting to speak. So there are signals they are giving. South Africa now refusing to invite him. So This will come as much as the citizens request this. So that's what they had to do. But the scene had to be clear. The focus here is focus on the crime and focus on the criminal. That's it.
The final set of questions I have come from citizens in the United States, and they're primarily concerned in the set of questions about what they can get the US to do to support the work of the court in Darfur. One of the questions they're asking is, what is the greatest impediment to justice in Darfur, and in particular, what role can the United States realistically take to bring peace in this desperately troubled region?
The most clear impediment for peace and justice in Darfur has a name, is Omar al-Bashir. It's very clear. The Sudan has to arrest him. We are not asking for regime change. We are asking the same regime to arrest Mr. Bashir and deliver. Will take time, but that they will do it as soon as al-Bashir faces a united international community. He cannot win, but he's a master in divide. He divided people in Darfur. He transformed some people in black, some people in Arabs. He divided international community. He divided between humanitarians and others. So stop to play the game. Have to be united against the crimes. That is the meaning of never again.
If you had to list the top three things that the new Obama administration could do to support the ICC's Darfur cases, what would you list?
Now, I cannot make opinions or advice to president of countries. It's their responsibility. I have a judicial mandate. I received a judicial mandate. I always understood that the Security Council resolution requesting justice is a piece in a more comprehensive approach, including peace, security, and humanitarian assistance. I never interfere with the other tracks. I never request help to the peacekeepers. I never request the peacekeeper to arrest people. I never request information to the humanitarian agencies. I never interfere with the others. And in the same way, I think the other track has to respect justice track. When the courts say Omar al-Bashir has to be arrested, end of discussion. End of discussion. And Security Council member has to support what they decided. It's just consistency. So, but I cannot tell state how they had to act, they know.
This may fall into the same category, but another person asked, recognizing the more adversarial position of some of the states in the global south towards the United States, do you think it would be, on balance, helpful or harmful to the court if President Obama tried to get the US to join the court right now?
It's not my responsibility to advise what to do in the national state. National states are free. They can choose to join or not to join. But here is a Security Council resolution. So I believe we have to understand this is even broader than the court. It's not about the court. It's about a Security Council resolution who decide to make justice in Darfur. And that's what we are doing. And in Rome, that was the model those states who were against the court were proposing. Just work with Security Council resolution. That is our force. That's the way we don't need to discuss who is joining the court, who is not joining the court, because it's irrelevant here again. The relevant discussion here is, in 2005, Security Council adopted a resolution deciding that peace and security therefore required justice. In June 2008, 9 months ago, Security Council by consensus, including China, Russia, Libya, Vietnam, adopted a presidential statement requesting the Sudan to cooperate with the court. That's what we need now.
Thank you so much for taking the time to answer some of the questions that are out there from citizens, and I'm sure everybody will be following these future cases with very much interest. Thank you.